In our remaining time this evening, if you would take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2, and then turn over to Philippians chapter 2, just put a bookmark there or a piece of paper or something, because we're going to get there in just a few moments. But I want to pick up where I left off on Sunday morning whenever I spoke relating to the two icons, if you want to call them, of Christianity, the cross and the manger, of how they've been stripped of their meaning. They've been stripped of their offense, and they've been sanitized and made something pretty, something nice. And that's what the devil often does. The Bible tells us that we're not simple concerning his devices. He likes to take things that God has shared and turn them around the opposite way. And I was thinking about the purpose behind the manger. If you look at Luke chapter 2, and move down to verse 12, "And this shall be a sign unto you." Now think about that. "This shall be a sign unto you." This is something that will alert you. This is something that will extend a message to you that you need to pay attention to. And that is this: "Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying where?" In a manger. All right? In a manger. Why? What's the purpose behind that? Well, first of all, I think it shows the utter humiliation that our Lord endured on His rescue mission. The utter humiliation. We live in a softy age. Everybody's soft and so sensitive. Listen, our Lord was utterly humiliated, but He never saw Himself as a victim. He was the victor. And we ought not to be looking at ourselves as victims. We are, if we are saved, we belong to the victor. And to the victor go the spoils. That's just the way it is. And we live in a time and age where we don't like to be humiliated. But I want you to know our Lord was. And it was done that way on purpose. There was a purpose behind it. His utter humility. He was turned away. His mother was turned away from an inn. By the way, it's interesting. When you study the inns of that time, they didn't charge a fee. It was free to stay in the inn, especially at time of census, because it was ordered by the government. The people went there and they didn't have to pay. You just went to the inn. And you were treated like cattle, all right? You were given a certain amount of provender for your animals, which were right in the next room, basically. And you had your spot and you laid beside six or seven other people that were there spending the night. And you put down some straw that was left over from after you feeding your animals, and that's what you slept on. And you weren't charged a fee. But it's still pretty humble, is it not? I don't think any of us... I've never slept on a floor other than just for fun, you know, going to go camping with the kids. So camp out in the living room, you know, put a pup tent up there, lay on the floor and pray for dawn to come quickly, you know, and the sun come up so you can go on with the rest of your day. But our Lord, you know, you think about this. I read this by Joseph Parker, which I thought was a really good statement about this humiliation. "Would it have been fitting that the man who was to die naked on the cross should be robed in purple at his birth? Would it not have been inappropriate that the Redeemer who was to be buried in a borrowed tomb should be born anywhere else but in a borrowed shed and housed anywhere but in the humblest manner?" No, our Lord did that. Turn over to Philippians very quickly here. Chapter 2, very familiar passage of Scripture, but it brings across this humility, this humiliation of our Savior. Look, please, at verse 7. "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." I want to hone in on that word "made." Interesting word. It's the word where we get the idea of to empty, or to diverse oneself of one's prerogatives, or to deprive a thing of its proper function. You think about a car. You get a flat tire, that car's not going anywhere. Everything can be working properly on the car. The radio may be working, the engine running, but you're not going anywhere because you got a flat tire. That vehicle is deprived of its purpose. That's the word that's used here. Kinu is the Greek word. It means to deprive something. Our Lord was deprived when He came to this earth. He left all the glories of heaven. And He set aside the prerogatives of His deity. Why? To be the atonement for sinners. To, through His humiliation, take sinners who are humbled by their wickedness and their sin and lift them up. Psalm 40 is one of those beautiful passages of Scripture. It talks about, He lifted me up and put my feet on rock. I was in the miry clay, literally the pit of noise. He lifted me up out of the miry clay and He set my feet on a rock. That's what our Savior did. But He was humbled in order that He might do that. He was made in the likeness of men. He was made a servant. He was made with no reputation. You know, it's an amazing thing. But I like to read cemetery gravestones. I like to, whenever I'm researching or whatever, every time I come across a name of somebody, I like Joseph Parker. I said, I want to find out a little bit about him. A pastor there in London, was a friend of Charles Spurgeon. He was known for his lofty language and length of messages. We probably would not have invited him to speak at Grace Bible Church. His standard message was 2 hours long after they'd done all the other things. So he'd preach for 2 hours. So if you were worried about your roast in the oven back in those days, it would have been Crispy Critter. All right? So don't complain when you get out at 5 after. Okay, we could do the Joseph Parker on you and do 2 hours, and then you'd really be hungry by that time. But anyway, I saw his gravestone. You can go to findagrave.com and they'll have a picture of it, and it'll tell a little bit of the history, and you can read the engravings. Most of the time on those older ones, they'll have an engraving on all four sides of the stone if they have a large one. And you can see what was put down there and the years of his life and how many years he pastored and things of that nature. I just enjoy looking that up to see. But our Lord had no grave marker. Our Lord had it because He rose again the third day. Isn't that wonderful? You can go visit Joseph Parker's tomb, but you can't go visit Jesus Christ and know that He's inside there. His tomb is wide open. Even though He was made of no reputation, He rose again the third day, and He rose victoriously, and He's not a victim, He's a victor. The manger, made of no reputation, and He did that. Let's make it personal. Let's plug our name in there. He did that for me, Todd Brainerd. He did that for you. Put your name on the line. Was made of no reputation. Made in the form of a servant. Made in the likeness of sinful man, yet without sin. That's what our Lord did for us. Secondly, He was declared to be the King of the poor. You know, that's what every person on this earth is. We are dirt poor spiritually. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 that we are all dead in trespasses and sins. That's pretty poor, is it not? That's very poor. I've been doing some reading on an excavation project that is going on near Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And it's in a wooded area that during the Civil War had been completely leveled by cannon fire, by musket shot. I mean, it destroyed every tree. It was completely leveled by the fire. And some of the men were buried where they fell. And they're going back through and they're excavating those areas because they're taking those bones and they're burying them properly. And it's interesting as they begin to dig down and they find artifacts that belong to a soldier. And you begin to see their life. They're doing the same thing, by the way, in several battlefields in the Ardennes Forest. They are doing the same thing where they're buried soldiers, American soldiers, German soldiers. They're finding them there, and they just basically push them into a hole in the ground. And they're finding their tags. They're finding how they died. They can tell. And it tells the story of them. And you think about their life snuffed out. You know, what kind of life did they have before they became a soldier for the German Army or for the United States Army in World War II? Brought from overseas here in America, and there in that hole, you see their pistol. One soldier, the bones are wrapped around the pistol that he had in his hand when he was pushed over into the hole where he was buried. Some of them with their dog tags, some of them with things still in their pockets. Some of the clothing has not deteriorated. And you couldn't help but think about that poor soldier in his final minutes. Folks, we are poor. And our Savior came to lift us from poverty and to give us His riches. That's what He did for us. That's why He came to a manger. There's many more that I could bring out. By the event of being laid in a manger, He gave an invitation to the humblest to come to salvation. You know, there's not salvation that goes to the wealthy and the rich and the really high people in the world, and then the rest of us just have to get by. No, the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and He appeared before the wise men. You see, all areas of life represented in Jesus Christ to those in this world. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. We don't have a rich man's shepherd. We don't have a poor man's shepherd. We have a shepherd who is known as the Good Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, the Great Shepherd. And He suffered the humiliation of coming to this earth, leaving behind the glories of His past, present, and future, setting that all aside, that He could come and be born in a manger for us as poor, lost sinners. I just marvel at the humility and the humiliation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the reasons behind it. There are many more that we could draw from the manger scene, and Lord willing, I'll bring out some of the things about the cross. Why the cross? Why not some other method of dying? Because the cross was the cruelest. And that's what our Savior endured for you and for me. He endured the cruelest of all death machines that we might know life everlasting. No one could ever say that Jesus did not give the last amount of life in what He did for us. He gave up the glories of eternity. He gave up on this earth. He didn't even have a pillow. He said, "A stone is my pillow." He didn't have a house. He didn't have the things that you and I enjoy. One of the things on the trip to the Philippines that I thought about, there was a young man that as we were walking down the trail, we had a guy that was ahead of us with a machete. He was chopping down the vines and stuff. All the people over there are very short, so when they're walking down the trail, they're walking under the stuff, and here we were, you know, big, tall people, you know, 5'8". And they were running ahead of us, and they were cutting the vines down so we could get through. And all of a sudden, there was a young boy that went shooting across in front of us. And it looked to me like he was carrying a gun. So I pulled ahead. I said, "Mike, hold on." And I just held him. I said, "Let's wait here until the interpreter gets up here." So we stood there in the canopy, and I was praying, "Lord, help them not to be any snakes up there." And we stood there and waited, and the interpreter, and we said to him, said, "There was a young boy that just went by. It looks like he's carrying a gun or something like that. Can you go on ahead and talk to him?" He said, "Sure, I will go ahead." And so he went up there, and he began to call out to the boy. And the boy was in a thicket over to our left, and he was down on the ground. And sure enough, he had a gun mechanism. It was a Chinese-made dart gun, a lever-action pneumatic, and they had those big, long darts in them that they pushed down into the barrel. And it cocks it, and then he was hunting for birds. He had several brothers and sisters up that I didn't know about. When we got up into the village, we got to meet his family. As a matter of fact, I had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches that I was carrying in my backpack for dinner. And I went into a NEPA hut that one of the men allowed us to go into his NEPA hut to sit down to eat. And that boy, I looked down through there, and the next NEPA hut over was that boy with his mother, and I saw four other little kids in there. And here I was eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So I got up, and I went over there, and I gave it to him. And I said, here. And that boy snatched it out of my hand and took off running. And all the brothers and sisters went with him. Okay? They were all following him because they wanted what? They wanted dinner. They wanted dinner. And it hit me. Todd Brainerd, don't you ever open your mouth again to complain about anything. Those kids were starving. And their brother, their big brother, was out hunting little birds to bring back so they could cook them for dinner. And I messed up his hunting trip. A white man. He told the interpreter, I'm scared of those people. I'm scared of them. They're big. Really? But it scared them to death. And that was the end of his hunting thing. But the Lord just impressed me. Give them your peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And he took off running, and all of his brothers and sisters went over. And the mother sat right there in the NEPA hut watching me. She didn't follow him. She didn't try to go eat with him. She just sat there and watched me as I ate another little snack that I brought along with me. Finished there. Utter humiliation, poverty, living in a NEPA hut, that whole family, with nothing. I don't have any excuse, and neither do you. Because we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's provided everything that we need. And in His greatness, He impoverished Himself that you and I might be made rich. You think we can meditate on that at Christmas time? We need to meditate on it all year round because of the wonder of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for all that you have provided through your Son, Jesus Christ, for us. Through that utter humiliation, leaving behind the glories and the wonderful prerogatives of His deity, He came to this earth and bore in His body our sins, not His own sin. He was perfect. He was without sin. And Lord, so many times we whine and complain about this, that, or the other, and we have no idea what You did for us. We have nothing to complain about, nothing to whine about, nothing to point our finger at Thee and say, why is this happening to me? Because You left it all to come and to bear in Your body other people's sin, the sin of the whole world, and endure the separation from Your Father that we might have hope. Lord, I pray that You would teach us at this season of the year Your utter humiliation for us, and help us to get off of our complaining and whining spirits and realize how wonderful and how great and good You are. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.